ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 25, The Three Modes and Beyond, Text Number 12. Sadvam Rajastamaite Guna Jivasya Naivame Chitta Jajastu Bhutanam Sajamano Nibhajate. Sadvam, the mode of goodness. Rajaha, the mode of passion. Tamaha, the mode of ignorance. Iti, thus. Gunaha, the modes. Jivasya, pertaining to the soul. Na, not. Eva, indeed. Me, to me. Chittaja, manifest within the mind. Yai, by which modes? To end. Bhutanam, to material creation. Sajjamana, becoming attached. Nibhajyate, one is bound up. The three modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, influence the living entity but not me. Manifesting within his mind, they induce the living entity to become attached to material bodies and other created beings. In this way, the living entity is bound up. Purport. The living entity is the marginal potency of the Supreme Lord, having the tendency to be overwhelmed by the Lord's illusory material energy. The personality of Godhead, however, is the absolute controller of illusion. Illusion can never control the Lord. Thus, the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is the eternal object of service for all living beings who are eternally servants of the Lord. The three modes of nature manifest within the material energy. When a conditioned soul adopts a material mentality, the modes exert their influence within the jurisdiction of that mentality. But if one purifies one's mind in the devotional service of the Lord, the modes of nature can no longer act upon him, since they have no influence on the spiritual platform. Om Ajnana Timandasya Gyanandana Salakaya Shakshuran Minitam Yena Tasmai Si Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam Vandeham Sigurau Siyutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaisnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagna Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Srivisakan Vitamscha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the living entity is described as tatastha shakti, the marginal energy. the energy of the Lord, which is separate from the Lord. And that marginal energy of the Lord, the jiva, a tiny part and parcel, can become influenced by the material energy, or can become influenced by the spiritual energy. But we always need to be under the influence of. Sometimes the police calls the car over to check if we are under the influence of, and you have to blow in the tube or walk over a line. Are you under the influence of? We are always under the influence of something. There is no question that we are ever independent. That is not our position. Our position is one on dependence on external sources, and we need to be under the influence of something. So either we are under the influence of Maya, or we are under the influence of Krishna. And it's not possible to be in a neutral state. That neutral state temporarily may be attained, the state of impersonalism, but it is a covert way of still being dependent on Krishna. Because Brahman, the impersonal Brahman, is actually Krishna's effulgent. So in that way, we're still dependent on Krishna. Although it seems that now we have become thoroughly independent. But that is illusion. So most of us are not at all independent. We are totally dependent on so many things. Oh yes, we have so many attributes. At night, I'm emptying out my pockets. So many things are in there. Put it all on the table. Take my glasses off. Put them in a place where I can find them, because it's difficult to find your glasses without your glasses. If you know what I mean. People with glasses know these things. Where are my glasses? So everything is organized, because in this world so many attributes. Where are my beads? Right? One thing is horrible if in the morning you don't know where your beads are, so everything there. So many attributes we require. And everyone needs so many things. So that is the nature of things. But when we become dependent on material things, then we come under the influence of the modes of material nature. The three modes of material nature exist outside of us, and simultaneously the three modes of material nature also exist inside of us. And that is the difficulty. The association with the external modes of nature leaves a reaction within us, in our consciousness. Like here it is said, chitta ja yesta bhutanam. Chitta means consciousness. It means within our consciousness. These three modes of material nature are entering. Sattvam rajastamaiti guna jivasyaneva ja chitta ja. They enter within our consciousness. And that is the biggest difficulty. And then they remain there. And then even if the external conditions have changed, still the internal affliction of the modes remains there. Once we come into passion within our consciousness, once the modes of passion and ignorance have entered into our consciousness, then even if we are in the circumstances of goodness, still we cannot access it internally. We cannot really be there. The place completely in goodness. But we are internally full of passion. We experience something like that in spiritual life. That we are acting in ways that we don't want to act. We are desiring to act according to our realization. We have read transcendental knowledge, we accept it in our heart, yes, this is true. And we see the behavior prescribed for one in the mode of goodness, and we accept this is better. It is better. This makes sense. I should act in this way. And we try to act in the mode of goodness, and then we fail. We fail. Inadvertently, the mode of passion bursts out. And afterwards we think, why did I do it? Why did I do that? Why did I allow myself to become overwhelmed by these qualities? But this is the situation. Therefore, we need to now practice devotional service. Abhyasa yoga yuktena. Abhyas means practice. Or we have to engage in sadhana bhakti. Srila Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion is describing three categories of bhakti. Sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. And so sadhana bhakti is devotional service in practice. So now we have to practice. And that means that sometimes the three modes of material nature are still influencing us. But do not worry, because Bhagavatam says, Tadara jastamo bhava kamalobhadiyas chaye mate iviti tanvidi stittam satpapasidati, which means that the influence of tamas and rajas, it will automatically disappear while in the process of performing devotional service. It is like that. Anatupasamam saksa bhakti yogam adoksaje, that the anattas, they will be removed from the heart, and we will become adoksaja. Adoksaja means beyond the senses. The senses are our connection with the material energy. It is through these material senses that we are relating to the material energy. And it is through the senses that we are being influenced by the three modes of material nature. It is through the senses that we relate to these things. And it is also through the senses that we are connecting with Krishna. So we must connect our senses with Krishna. That is the process. So we are looking at Krishna's glories. How wonderful is Krishna? How wonderful is he dressed? We are hearing about how wonderful are Krishna's qualities. He is described as Vidakta Madhava by Srila Rupa Goswami. He is artistic and very clever and playful pastimes. That is Madhava. Krishna. So gradually we are becoming absorbed in Krishna's qualities. So we engage the senses. We are seeing Krishna, we're hearing about Krishna, we're smelling the flowers, like that. All the senses are to be engaged in the service of Krishna. This is described, one must become matparaha, completely absorbed. Matparaha. Ambarish Maharaj was described as such a devotee. It said he used his legs to walk to the temple, his hands to clean the temple, his eyes to see the deity, his nose to smell flowers and incense. So by engaging the senses, we cannot deny the senses. Denial is not our process, because denial is that falgu vairagya. We simply are pushing the attachment below the surface. Simply pushing the material attachment below the surface, but it will still be there, and it will be awoken again. We have to create new attachments. Just like the four Kumaras, Tulsi Makarandaye, they were smelling the scent from the lotus feet of Krishna. And that made the change. These four Kumaras were Brahmavadis. They were impersonalists who were focused on the Brahman energy of Krishna. And that was it. They had no concept of Vishnu or the pastimes or qualities of the Supreme Lord. But somehow or other, when they wanted to enter into the Vaikuntha regions, Jai and Vijay stopped them. And at that time, they became angry because they were very young. They were in the mood of young boys. So they were not used to be restricted because it is mentioned children can go wherever they like. Nobody will say anything. Children come into the house of a stranger and take a fruit. Oh yes, everyone is happy. When an adult tries to do that, it's not the same. So children are not used to be checked. So they got angry when they got checked. And they cursed Jai and Vijay. And then Lord Vishnu appeared in that spot. And just then, the scent of the tulasi leaves, tulsi makarandaye, the scent of those tulasi leaves of the Lord's lotus feet entered into their nostrils. They had never smelled anything like that. That smell was something extraordinary. So that smell captured their minds, and suddenly they awoke. Even those who are not materially attached and who are Atmarama, who are satisfied within the self, even they are attracted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the nature. So therefore, to become disentangled and detached from the modes of material nature is a secondary consequence of devotional service. We're not so concerned in trying to develop all this detachment. Therefore, how austere are you, Prabhu? Is your bath water cold enough? No. Put some ice. Yes. Right. Yes. Are you eating sweets? Never. Never. It's sense gratification. Right. Are you sleeping on a mattress? Mattress. Sleeping back on the cold floor. Straight. Yes. How austere are you? All such austerity is, it is explained that austerity or tapas is not an anga of bhakti. It is not one of the limbs of bhakti. Therefore, all the austerity in the world can never give us love for Krishna. We can be so austere, but it will not give us love for Krishna. It's a preliminary thing. It is said, austerity, tapas, yajna, dhanam. These are yajna, and tapas and dhanam are activities, pavaninam vanissinam. That even purifies the transcendentalists. But that kind of purification is only preliminary. Only preliminary. It's like taking the rocks out of the field. But it's not planting the seeds of bhakti. So a little austerity is all right. Absolutely. And a lot of sense gratification does make one a little weak. Absolutely. Modern people have become softies because at the push of a button we deal with nature. Previously, we had to deal with it. You see in Indian villages, you see these ladies walking around with big bundles. That's lakri. Big bundles of wood. It's like It's not not the gas stove, if you know what I mean. Like plop. You know. No, it's like you see, these ladies are working hard. Yeah, the heavy work. You know, they were not like, and Indian ladies are often quite fragile. Right? I mean, slender. Right. So these skinny little ladies walking with big pieces of wood on their head. That was tradition. Right? Two pots of water as well. Yeah, life wasn't just soft. Huh? Not at all. So, but nowadays everyone's becoming soft. Because modern comforts are just taking away the austerity in life. And people become weak. Very weak. Oh no, no, I cannot deal with these things anymore. Even you come from India or other places that are more simple, after 1 year in Australia, oh, you cannot go back to India. Oh, so austere. So austere. Like that, we become gradually soft by our modern comforts. So some austerity is helpful, but it is not our aim. It is not our goal. Little bit, but not extreme. Simplicity, yes. Some renunciation, yes. But the main thing is engaging the senses in relation to Krishna. Seeing Krishna, hearing about Krishna, smelling the incense, all of these things. Wearing the garlands that that Krishna has worn. One time we were in Mayapur and the Bhagavatam class was going on. I forgot who was giving the class, but in the middle of the class, the doors, also two doors, they just opened. Kavi Chanda Maharaj walked in and he had like a huge garland, looking like a boa constrictor. Yeah. A very long one also, wrapped around his neck two times. So it was quite an entrance, and the class stopped and everyone just looked like, wow, here comes the Maharaj. And then he sat down. And he kept that garland, right? He kept it around his neck. And then he said, yes. Yes, he said, in the early days, when we would get a garland, we would just wear it and wear it and wear it. We would never take it off. And then it turned out that the garland that he had was Prabhupada's garland from the Samadhi. And he got it early in the morning at Mangalarti. And he was still wearing it at Bhagavatam class. Most of us would, like, you know, get the garland, 5 minutes, yes, thank you very much, and then quickly find someone else. Prabhu, please accept the garland, right? to get rid of it. That would be most of us. But in the nectar of devotion, it is stressed that one must wear the garlands that have been worn by the deities or the devotees. And then this spirit that Maharaj displayed there, is the spirit of bhakti. I'm not taking it off. No way. Yeah. Oh, keeping this one. Yes. Like that. That mood. All these things are much more important. Much more important than in trying to so much be in the mode of goodness. It's more important what time do we rise? What time do we sleep? Of course, early rising is beneficial because it gives us time for hearing and chanting. But it depends also. It depends on how much service we're doing and what service we're doing. And according to the service we're doing, we must rest. Yeah? And so that we have energy and life to absorb our senses in the service of Krishna. Because that is more important than all these austerities. Fasting, near jal ekarasi, not a drop of water. And are we going to get a lot of advancement on that day? Oh, I fasted, I almost fainted. Oh, it was ecstasy. To tell you the truth, is that this Nirjal Ekadasi, Srila Prabhupada didn't introduce it into ISKCON. We never practiced it. I can tell you exactly when it came in, because it came in when I was in Mayapur, which means between the end of 85 and mid 1990. I would estimate that it came in 87. That's what I estimate. 87, 88. But I think 87. Yeah. So, in 87, some devotees were getting very serious about Ekadasis and fasting on Ekadasi and staying up all night and chanting throughout the night. Of course, that attracted other devotees and it became a whole group, and many of them would be found the day after Ekadasi in a coma, right? And they wouldn't do any service on that day. Right? You could write them off. And that, of course, was not the idea. Of course, mind you, such practices are not without basis, because we see that our acharyas in the past also had strict Ekadasi performances. Like Srinivas Acharya would get the devotees chanting japa all night in a room, and then he had strings hanging off the ceilings, and he would tie the sikas, everyone would tie his sika to a string. And they're all chanting japa like that, sika tied to a string. So if you'd fall asleep, right? So there was no sleeping in japa. Yes, we can try that program when they come to see here. Oh my God! Okay, Number Canada Swami said, and then all get the strings. Oh my God! Everyone sitting there. But this program was not introduced to us, especially the Prabhupada. It's not required. It's not required. Of course, but is it allowed? Is it allowed to fast on Ekadasi? It is, but generally not recommended for new people. Because new people, and new, who is new? Right? Yeah. 10 years, you know, still quite new, isn't it? Not recommended for new people, because the senses need to find shelter. The senses are very much afflicted by the modes of material nature, and lust is constantly attacking the senses. So we think that I will purify these senses through austerity. No. I will purify these senses by engaging them in the service of Krishna. So take prasadam. Take prasadam. Because someone was complaining that they can't control the senses, and have a difficulty with that. Right. Well, I also, when I was new, I was inclined towards being austere, austerity. Now not so much, I must admit. Now more the natural austerity that comes in service. But in those days, I was inclined towards austerity. So all the other bhaktas, you know, had come together in Vrindavan, where we were staying, and they had sort of created from a tin. They made an oven, and then on a little electric stove, they were baking cookies in this oven.
That's like total Maya. Yeah, complete Maya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. I was chanting 64 rounds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna, and thinking those guys with their cookies.
So I became the servant of a sannyasi, and I told him about the cookies. I said, these guys. And the first thing he said, are they offering it? And I said, yeah, they do actually. I said, then it's all right. And I was shocked, you know. I was shocked, huh? But there was a similar incident in relation to Srila Prabhupada, because there was one devotee at night when everyone was asleep, that devotee would sneak into the kitchen, take out some pots, take out some ingredients and cook some halva. And then every night. So it came out and they brought the case to Prabhupada. And they made a complaint. This devotee is so lusty. Every night he goes into the kitchen and he just cooks halva. And Prabhupada said, does he offer it? And they said, yes. And then Prabhupada said, then it's all right. Then it's all right. Actually, we are getting worried. We are getting worried when someone is not taking shelter of prasadam. If we see a new person who doesn't take much prasadam. Uh-oh, this one's not going to make it. This looks like a serious case. This one, not bad sign, bad sign. Not like addicted to prasadam. Uh-oh, here, have another sweet. Very bad, looks bad. Afflicted by impersonalism. Seriously, Mayavad. Bad. No, we must take shelter of prasadam, because the trick is not renunciation, but engaging the senses in the service of Krishna. And when the senses are satisfied, it's not about denial. I must control these senses. New senses, behave. Beat them, yes. No, the senses, when the senses are satisfied in the service of Krishna, then they become controlled in a very natural way. Then the senses can be controlled in the mode of goodness. Then one can be at peace. But otherwise, if the senses are controlled in a mode of passion, I shall control these senses and Maya everywhere and take it away. That will not last. That is the kind of tendencies in spiritual life that are actually another form of anatta, another stumbling block on the path of devotional service. So we have to leave these things behind. Therefore we have to become natural. Natural. Srila Kavi Karnapur is describing various qualities that develop in the Vaishnavas as they are advancing. And one of the qualities that he describes is naturalness. So that's interesting. Because spiritual life seems to have so many rules and regulations. Everything is prescribed. We're always talking prescribed duty, eat in a prescribed way, sit in a prescribed way, speak in a prescribed way, sleep in a prescribed way, walk in a prescribed way, and everything prescribed. Right? Everything. And so how can you be natural like that? But we become natural by engaging the senses. By engaging the senses. Then everything becomes natural. And then it becomes sustainable. When Krishna consciousness is not natural, how is it sustainable? How can we keep it up? I've told the story before, but it's a long time since I did it in Australia, that I came in one particular temple somewhere in the world, and the temple was also on the coast. And when I arrived, I heard that the temple president wasn't there. And they said, he is going to the beach. Okay. And then they said, 3 days ago. I said, really? Yes. And they said, he's still there. So, as I'm always looking for an excuse to go to the beach, I said, well, let's go. So, went to the beach and came there. And I saw him sitting at the edge of the ocean. So, I told the devotees, okay, just drop me off and come and pick me up a little later, after a few hours. So I sat down next to him and didn't say a word, and we were looking at the ocean. A nice view. So after about 15 minutes I said, nice view, isn't it? Anyway, then we started a whole conversation. And really what came out was that he had an identity crisis. And his question was, who am I really? And he was already on that question for 3 days. So this is an extreme case. An extreme case of turning spiritual life into austerity. Of turning spiritual life into a role that we play. Of not being natural, but always projecting a role, actually. Playing out the role of the bhakta. Playing out the role of the devotee who's chanting japa. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Playing the role. Can everyone hear? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Wow, he chants such good japa. Did everyone hear? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Chanting, right? Ridayananda Maharaj was telling the story how the brahmacharis had a meeting, and they decided that something had to change in the temple during the kirtans. They said, because the Matajis are causing a lot of disturbance. They are dancing too openly, you know, in the kirtans. And So they said, what to do about it? And finally, they had a proposal, and they passed the proposal and made a resolution. No more ladies allowed in kirtan. Yeah? And then just as they were about to leave the meeting, one brahmachari said, no, wait a minute. We can't pass that resolution. And everyone said, why not? The brahmachari said, you know, if we do that, then who will we do kirtan for? Okay. It's only a story of Ridayananda Maharaj, but, you know, but we can think about it. To see if there is only a grain of truth in the whole thing. And this is the case, is that austerity will never take away these subtle little things, right? That in the name of devotional service we are still preoccupied with our own name, fame and glory, right? So what to do? Krishna consciousness is different. It is a matter of engaging the senses in the service of Krishna completely, until our heart satisfaction. That is the trick. We must engage the senses in the service of Krishna to the point that we are satisfied, really satisfied. And it is through that satisfaction that we will be situated nicely in Krishna consciousness. Bhakti Parisana Bhava Viraktir Anyata Ches Trike Ikikala Prabhada Manasyata Sus Tushti Pustiksut Abhayanukasam. Which is the verse which makes the same point. Engage the senses until one is satisfied. Just like in eating, it says. Just eat and eat until you're full, and then you don't want anything else anymore. The desire is gone. Yeah. So, this is the trick. Engage the senses to our heart's satisfaction in the service of Krishna. Any questions? Any comments?
We talked about not beating the senses.
You're still upset about that tiger, huh? Well, it's not that we just starve the mind. But we remember in Bhagavad Gita that it is stated that while we are conditioned, the mind is our enemy. So we cannot trust the mind. So therefore we tame the mind. First, all right, we put the mind through some austerity, but then we also engage the mind. We must engage the mind, and the mind is engaged through in various means, by hearing, chanting, and service. Therefore, because our minds are very restless, we engage the mind in working for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. So the mind must be busy. And Prabhupada explained in palmistry, there's a science, here's the hand, and we can see many things from the hand. So in the hand, it is said that this lower level of the fingers is representing the gross sensual platform. The middle part of the fingers is representing the mental platform, and the tip of the fingers is representing the intellectual platform. And it said wherever there is redness in the hand or darkness in the hand, that is where the energy is. So if this part is reddish, then one can understand that one is on the gross, animalistic, sensual platform. All right. A little palmistry. Right? So, when we are by nature, by conditioning, more on the sensual platform, then we cannot just immediately only engage in hearing and chanting. No, it's not possible. Then we need to do something with the senses. We need to work. Therefore, since most of us are quite attached to sense gratification, our purification is working hard with the senses, with the working senses. Later, when we are more purified, then we can spend more time with hearing and chanting and all that. Therefore, me, in my early days, I was describing, I was chanting 64 rounds, and the other bhaktas were eating cookies. And while I was chanting my 64 rounds, I was envious of those bhaktas that were eating cookies. I was just like thinking, what maya, they're eating cookies. But actually, I still love cookies today. I've always been able to eat lots of cookies, and I could still do that if I wanted to.
Because cookies are good.
I wasn't able to chant 64 rounds and just be absorbed in Krishna. So therefore, the advice I got, don't worry so much about trying to chant 64 rounds. Just chant 16 rounds and chant some extra if you have time. But be very busily engaged in service. Work hard in the service of Krishna. So by doing that, my mind became more peaceful. So the mind is directly connected to the senses. And when the senses are still very agitated, then we must engage these senses and work very hard with the senses. In this way, Srila Prabhupada said that because we were restless, which means the senses were agitated, we couldn't chant so much, and therefore he created so many practical engagements for us where we could engage all the senses in service. And we should not be so proud to think, oh, well, I'm above that. Because all of us have quite agitated senses. So we work hard engaging the senses. Then we become purified, and then the mind becomes more peaceful. Yes. And then the mind can become more absorbed in chanting and hearing about Krishna. Yes. So many people keep on bringing up the point about attentive chanting. I cannot chant attentively. I cannot chant attentively. It's terrible. It's so bad. I am feeling so bad because I cannot chant attentively. All right. How do I chant more attentively? One way is by working very hard in devotional service. Work hard. But then I hardly have time to chant. That's all right. Just work hard, and then in due course of time, one will start to chant more attentively. But first, work hard. Prabhupada said, work now, samadhi later. Isn't it? Yeah. And that's not like, that we're on people's case, why aren't you working hard enough? No, but it's just pointing out the senses are agitated, quite agitated by the material energy. So we need to engage them. That is the point. Sometimes devotees work so hard they get overworked. That's also there. And then in overworked, then there's over-endeavor, and the result is their hearing and chanting begins to suffer, their attendance to devotional programs begins to suffer, then maybe we work too much. So it's also a balance. But we must engage the senses. Because otherwise, even if we try to engage the mind in hearing about Krishna, mind will be restless. That's why we cannot immediately just spend all our time with Vrindavan pastimes and Radha and Krishna and this, that, because the senses are so agitated. We need to really first engage them in working for Krishna. Like that. More questions? Yes.
Maharaj, if you could just comment on this. I just previously think that, probably because association with other devotees, you also maybe have thought that being natural can lead to complacency, and that. So I don't think that so much now. If you could just comment on that, what you think on that.
Used to think being natural might lead to complacency. Well, let's look a little closer at what it means to be natural. We have different natures. We have a temporary nature, which now arises from our material conditioning. Due to that temporary nature, we are in a particular body. And along with that, we are in a particular mode of nature. As I said, internally, the modes of nature are there. And due to that, we belong in a particular varna, and maybe even in a, well, ashram is still more a matter of choice. So like that, we belong in a particular situation, and that gives us a whole identity. So we have our temporary identity, and with it, a certain nature. We have been maybe having had a problem with anger for 7 lifetimes, and therefore it's deeply in our nature. It always comes out again. The volcano again, and we know that we should keep it inside, but it happened again. A problem. So we have a particular nature with a particular character now. And there are weaknesses and strengths in that character that we have. The hand can also tell us that. And so, what to do? If we get too much into our conditioned nature, then we could be feeding our material conditioning. It would be like maintaining it. So that's where your concept of complacency comes in. Now, being natural in devotional service is the solution to deal with our conditioned nature is not one of denial. It is simply one of getting busy in the service of Krishna. And the service of Krishna is bound by certain standards. Yeah. It's like, and then one have to give up so many things. In the kitchen, do not touch your mouth, do not touch your nose, do not this, you know, don't do that, don't do this. In the temple, don't do this, don't do that. So many do's, so many don'ts in spiritual life. A devotee doesn't do this, a devotee doesn't do that. So, these are all the desires of Krishna. So we must follow that. And in that way, we have to give up our conditioned nature. But within following the directions of Krishna, we can be natural. We do not have to... we just engage our senses in the service of Krishna, and that means we have our own way, you know. One chance in one way, one chance in another way, and it's all right. And even chanting, we don't have to punish ourselves so much. Make chanting a punishment. You know, are you doing everything 100% correct? Maybe not. Maybe sometimes you're spaced out while chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Mind is somewhere in the universe. Shoot yourself in the head for such sinful activity, you rascal. How dare you? No, that's extreme. Not extreme. Are we not always pronouncing the mantra perfectly? Probably not. You know, I saw a question which was asked to Chipparari Swami, who has this site on the internet where he answers questions. And I looked at it one time. And just as I looked, someone asked a question and said, I listened to the japa tape of Srila Prabhupada and I heard that Srila Prabhupada sometimes doesn't chant the full Maha Mantra. And what about that? It's like, my God, you know, what a question, right? You know what Maharaj said? Maharaj, I liked his answer. He said, maybe sometimes Srila Prabhupada is not pronouncing the full Maha Mantra. He said, but he's chanting in his mind. He said, he's chanting in his mind. In his mind, he's surely chanting the full mantra. Surely. So, you know, on the bodily platform, right? The tongue sometimes get twisted. It's a tongue twister, right? It's There are all these kind of things, you know. Tongue twisters, right? I don't know them in English, you know, but I'm sure English has its tongue twisters, right? You know, in Dutch we have some, you know, moeder snijdt, zeven scheve sneetjes brood, something like that. Try and say it. Difficult to say. So the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, in a way, it's sometimes the tongue gets a little twisted. Yeah, I've caught myself of saying too many Hare's. Yeah, like a record that got stuck. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram Ram, Ram Ram, Re Re Re. You know, too many Re's. What can I say? It's happened. It's happened. Maybe it will happen again. Yeah, but one fixes the mantra in one's heart. One fixes the mantra in one's consciousness. One is sincerely focusing and trying to chant. And then the physical weakness or a little bit of mental weakness, mind goes here and there. There is Krishna watching it. I'm watching your chanting, boy. I'm watching it. Yes, I'm watching. And if I catch you, one mistake, right? I'm noting it down. Right. I have it noted down, and that will hold you back. For that, you'll stay in a material world. Yes. That's Krishna, the all-merciful, all-loving Supreme Lord. That's the Lord some people worship. That may be your Krishna, or somebody's Krishna, but not my Krishna. My Krishna is very understanding. My Krishna is very merciful. My Krishna is very kind. My Krishna looks at the intention. My Krishna cares about the intention in the heart. My Krishna is the one from the story about the man who really, with great difficulty, tried to make a clay pot. He wasn't very expert. The wheel was spinning. He took the clay, he made the pot. Finally, after 1 hour of trying again and again, there was something that looked like a pot. It wasn't perfectly straight, but boy, it was a miracle that it even looked like a pot. And he knew, this is the best thing I'm ever going to make in my life, and this is it. You know, and then he offered it to Krishna, saying, Krishna, please accept this pot. It's the best I can do. I know, it's not perfect, but please accept. And Krishna gladly accepted. And he was more happy with that pot than with the perfect pot of the potter who just threw the clay on the thing just with one finger, and there it was, perfect. In 1 minute. No, he was more happy with that crooked pot that was made with blood, sweat and tears of sincerity. So Krishna, my Krishna, looks at the intention. That's the Krishna I turn to. That's the Krishna I pray to. He is very soft-hearted, my Krishna. Any other question? Okay, we will end. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.